The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And a very good morning to you. This is the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio on this Thursday morning. It's the 4th of September. It's a very special day. Donal Kavanagh here in studio for the next 3 hours. But of course, you will be getting plenty of Greg on the show today, because Greg, as you'll know from listening to me, is on Arranmore Island. It's the Arranmore leg of the Donegal Camino. Greg Shannon and the crew there will be walking 16 kilometres as part of the Camino. And we'll be walking with Greg for quite a part of the opening leg of that journey. Greg joining us on regular occasions over the course of the programme. We'll get a flavour of what's happening on Arranmore Island, how the Camino is going, and Greg will be speaking, of course, to some of the personalities and the walkers who are over there. It's going to be a very special show. And of course, as you know, there is an iDonate page where you can donate to Cancer Care West Donegal, which is what, of course, this is all in support of. So if you can indeed go and search Greg Hughes on the iDonate page, and you'll get through to Greg's page and you can make a donation to that particular cause. It's time to look at the papers now, of course, but before we do, don't forget you can, of course, take part in the conversation yourself. We are available right across the communications network. You can text 086 60 25000. That number good for WhatsApp messages as well. You can call us, of course, 074 91 25000, 00353 74 91 25000, if you're outside of the dialing area, or email comments at highlandradio.com. We're available on social media. It's Highland Hub on Facebook, at Highland Radio on X. And you can, of course, watch the show on our Facebook pages and also on our YouTube channel, Highland Radio Ireland. And as I said, we'll be getting in touch on a regular basis with Greg over the course of the programme. And the plan is we will have video with Greg from Arranmore as well. So not only do you get to hear Greg and the guests, you get to see them as well. So you can do that on our Facebook pages or indeed on our YouTube channel. And please do engage with the programme this morning and let us know the issues that you're thinking about today. And we do, of course, have a packed programme with other things to discuss as well. Front page of the Donegal News this morning is: we need answers. Sister of Chrysler victim says family cannot heal without the truth. Lisa Gallagher, the sister of the late Jessica Gallagher, who died in the Chrysler tragedy, opening up on her family's feelings as we approach the anniversary of that tragedy in 2022. Interesting story on the inside of the paper: insufficient data produced for major Letterkenny development. Transport Infrastructure Ireland has made a submission to a proposed large-scale residential development in Letterkenny. It cites that insufficient data has been produced to show it won't have a detrimental impact on the national road network in the vicinity. It's related to a planning application from PJ McDermott for the development of 260 residential units, a large shop and a creche in the Glencar Irish and Glencar Scotch area of Letterkenny. And that's the inside there, as I said, of the Donegal News. Looking at the Tyrconnell Tribune today, a very large tribute to Ollie Horgan. Front page, Ollie Horgan, footballing legend. Quite a lot of coverage on pages 2 and 3 as well. Also on the front page, the ongoing story of Johnny's Ranch. Tomorrow week, the closure order from Donegal County Council comes into effect. There was, of course, a rally in Gamble Square in Rimmelton on last weekend, and the front page of the Tyrconnell Tribune this morning: Johnny's Ranch was there for us in our darkest trauma. A family coping with their own life-changing trauma has expressed support to Johnny and Martina Patterson and wished them well. The story there on the front, as I said, of the Tribune. Also a tribute to Holly Horgan, and a picture of school staff members seeking equality, parents, teachers and students from Skull on Bosta in Carrigart, supporting the school secretaries and caretakers pension parity strike that's taking place at the moment. You'll of course heard some of the girls from sixth class in the school and John Jamie Getting and the caretaker on with Greg yesterday morning. Derry News this morning: armed forces not welcome at job fair. Councillors voice opposition to British military attending the Derry Jobs Fair in the Foyle Arena. The presence of the armed forces is being opposed. Local councillors made the objections. The job fair due to be held on Tuesday next, September 9th. It's a chance for individuals to chat to employers, learn about vacancies in council areas and enhance their employment prospects through practical advice and support. However, a number of councillors from both Sinn Féin and the SDLP expressing concern at the proposal. proposal that the army take a stand there. Inside, vesting required at Moboy Dump before remediation can begin. It's hazardous. An underground barrier is part of the proposed work for the contaminated site. Catherine McGinty writes a very comprehensive story there. And there was an open day in Eglinton yesterday. Another open day taking place next week in the Millennium Forum. And the thought is this is going to take around about £700 sterling, or close to 800 million euro, to actually get this resolved. And it's going to take years to complete a major project in store there for the Moboy area. Irish Independent, semi-state job to be kept open for Gavin during his Auris run. That's the front page of the Irish Independent. Looking on the inside, a terrible story coming from Portugal. And I visited Lisbon some years ago. I didn't get to go on the funicular in question. I wanted to, but the queue was ridiculously long. So I actually didn't get to go onto this particular funicular. But a funicular in Portugal, in Lisbon, crashed yesterday. At least 15 dead and 18 people injured. It's a terrible, terrible story. You can see the wreckage on the front there. The funicular goes up and down this really steep hill in Portugal, and it was one of the major tourist attractions in Lisbon. A terrible, terrible story. Nothing found by cadaver dogs at the site of search for boy last seen 4 years ago. That's that ongoing search in Dublin. And another story there regarding the presidential election, and a lot more of those to come in the coming weeks. Shadow Geldof campaign said to be already in motion. A shadow presidential campaign in support of Bob Geldof is believed to be in motion, with an ad hoc organisation being pulled together backing a bid by Bob Geldof. Now, will he try to go down the route of seeking nominations from local councils? He very well may do. We'll be speaking more about that in just a few moments. Irish Times, Gardaí paid large sum to Israeli spyware company. And Garda Síochána's intelligence section paid substantial sums to that spyware company with a history of doing business with repressive regimes. Cognite Technologies, which is headquartered in Ireland, has had close ties to Israeli security services. It manufactures a range of espionage technology, including data and wiretapping tools. Also a story there on the Irish Times. Republic seeks allies to help block Mercosur trade deal. The Republic will seek to block the Mercosur trade deal by building alliances with other European countries opposed to it. If they can get enough support across the EU, they can do so, because the deal has got to be finalised and given the final go-ahead by the Council of Ministers, which is the heads of state of all the EU countries. And if sufficient numbers of them oppose it, then that can happen. So it remains to be seen what's going to happen with that deal. But certainly it's a very, very serious issue for local farmers. Their fear is that if the deal isn't blocked, what we're going to see is farmers in this country having to fulfil very strict environmental criteria and very strict environmental quotas, while South American countries such as Uruguay, Brazil, Argentina and Paraguay, which don't have to fulfil those same environmental obligations, being given the chance to export their wares into the EU. And the fear is that if the EU is, as they say, flooded with cheap imports from South America that haven't followed the same environmental standards as Irish beef, but they can be put on the market at a reduced rate, then that could have a very, very serious impact on the Irish agricultural sector. That's one we'll keep watching with interest. Front page of the Irish Sun this morning. How many more Kieran's? Child and Family Agency TUSLA has been ordered to review all closed cases to ensure there are no more missing kids like tragic Kieran Dernan in Ireland. The Children's Minister, Norma Foley, asked for the trawl so she could be assured that no more youngsters fell under the radar. It comes as a dig continues for the body of another boy believed missing in Dublin. The presumption is, after he wasn't seen for 4 years, that the young child is dead. A piece of land in Donabate is, as we know, being dug up at the moment as part of the search for that young boy. TUSLA did confirm yesterday that they had had engagements with the boy, but that was three or four years ago. I can't recall exactly which. I think it may have been four, actually. So they did have contact with the boy and his family. They haven't had contact since. The question now is, are there more cases of that nature? Irish Daily Mirror this morning, interesting headline, a picture of Conor McGregor and the headline, talking out of his arse. And None of Ireland's 31 councils have issued a nomination for presidential hopeful Conor McGregor, despite him claiming he had their support. Now, I can give you some insight into this because I was in contact with Donegal County Council about 10 days ago. I made contact with the council's press and information section, and I basically asked, have you any nominations or any proposals in for a special meeting for people seeking nominations to Áras an Uachtaráin? Because certainly Peter Casey, if he does decide to go forward, Peter Casey, Donegal will be one of his first ports of call, obviously, to seek a nomination. So I contacted Donegal County Council and I just asked, have you any proposals in? What the council told me was, we actually have six people have expressed an interest in securing a nomination from Donegal County Council. That number may have risen, but as of about 10 days ago or thereabouts, when I asked the council, six people had expressed an interest in securing a presidential nomination from Donegal County Council. But what the council told me was, until the order to have a presidential election is made, we cannot have a meeting because as of yet, there is no presidential election for which people can be nominated. Now, yesterday, Minister James Brown moved that order just before 1 o'clock yesterday afternoon. James Brown published the notice that he had made the order. So we know the order is there. The closing date for nominations is September 24th. So as of yesterday, nominations are being invited and the election will take place on October 24th. So just under 3 weeks' time, close of nominations. So now the councils can have those meetings. The councils couldn't really have those meetings to make nominations. They could have had informal meetings, but no council could call a meeting to discuss a presidential election because technically, until yesterday, just before lunchtime, there was no presidential election to talk about. Now there is. The order has been signed. So it would have been impossible for Conor McGregor to secure support from county councils because they couldn't have the meeting to make a formal nomination. That's going to happen very shortly, and we can expect Donegal County Council to have those discussions in the coming days. And as soon as we have more details, obviously, on that, we'll bring them to you. The Irish Daily Star. Did you manage to get a ticket for the electric picnic? And someone said, why are you asking that? It's already over. But I'm not talking about the one that's already over. Yesterday, tickets went on sale for Electric Picnic 2026 and they sold out in an hour and a half. So Pick of the Bunch is the headline, and festival sells out 80,000 tickets in less than 2 hours. Electric Picnic 2026 already sold out. Now, there will be more tickets going onto the market and there will be other opportunities, I suspect, to get tickets over the course of the next coming months. But technically speaking, Electric Picnic 2026 is sold out already. We don't have a clue who's going to be playing at it. Now, in a very, very interesting move, in the same sort of story, a little sidebar, he's heading this way for another concert. Ed Sheeran is making a surprise return to the capital this year. Ed Sheeran will play the Three Arena stage on December 9th as part of his European tour. I can't help wondering how many people are going to be looking at this story that secured an Electric Picnic ticket yesterday, see the Pick of the Bunch headline, including a picture of Dermot Kennedy singing with the Cranberries, which was a really, really I wasn't there, but I've seen the clips. It was really, really interesting to see Dermot Kennedy singing the Cranberries songs with the Hogans and the surviving band members. You see that the headline, Electric Picnic sold out, then you see a picture over in the side of Ed Sheeran. Some people are going to put two and two together and get five, I'm afraid, as far as this one is concerned. And finally, it's a Thursday, which means it's a farming day on Highland Radio, the Irish Farmers Journal. Weanling prices surge despite Mercosur risk. A story there that weanling prices surged past €7 a kilogram this week, with one farmer in Elphin taking home a cheque of almost €80,000 for 33 weanlings. Top quality springborn weanlings are making north of €7 a kilogram. Now, I suspect that won't be the price across the board, and I say there's very, very few farmers in Donegal, I suspect, taking home €80,000 from the mart. But that's perhaps a positive story, and the Mercosur issue is going to become more and more discussed in the coming days. Then inside of the journal, Mercosur trade deal moves a step closer and farm organisations slam Mercosur deal. And speaking of farming and farm organisations and the interests of farmers, don't forget, by the way, farming news and views on the station this evening. Chris Ashmore bringing you news and information and perspectives from the local farming sector. That's on at around about 20 past five this evening. As we have said before, it is a very, very special day on Highland Radio. It's the Camino Donegal Camino is taking place. It's day five, and the loop we're on today is the loop on Arranmore Island, and we're going to go to Arranmore and for the first time this morning say a very good morning to Greg Hughes. Greg, how are you?
Donal, I am fantastic. We have been blessed with the weather today. It is absolutely stunning here on Arranmore Island. We're kind of, you know, jumping on the coattails of these amazing people who've been doing this now for a number of days. We are joined now by Noel Cunningham, who is the... I suppose it's just the number one. But.
Hello there, and my goodness, how exciting is this? The welcome on Arranmore is always second to none. And there's such a lovely atmosphere, a lovely buzz. It would be kind of impossible to describe to the listeners the magic of this morning. We're looking out over the water. There's a boat being built right ahead of us. The sun is shining. The sky is blue. And there's a lovely chatter and laughter and fun. It's just incredible.
I'm not sure that boat is being built, because that boat was in an awful lot better condition when I saw it about 5 or 6 years ago. I think it might be going the other way, Noel, in fairness.
Well, I'm going to see if we get it over to Burton Port, so that I'm going to stick it on the back of my car and take it home. But no, Greg, first of all, to Highland Radio, to all of you, it is so, so good that you join us, because it's very important that people know that we're doing something very special for a very special centre in Letterkenny, the Cancer Care West Cancer Centre.
In relation to that, Noel, if you don't mind, and we are only here to support the likes of yourself. That's the only reason we're here. It's not for us. But I've been trying to articulate the importance of Cancer Care West Donegal and that beautiful facility in Letterkenny and the wonderful people that work there. And I'm not sure I've done it justice. You know it inside and out. You're the patron. Talk to me about that building, the people, and the importance of it.
Well, I can put it very succinctly. I went down to Galway. I sit on the board of Cancer Care West. I saw in the guest house that every single person who was in that guest house were from Donegal. And the thing that was missing, when they were in the guest house, when they were down there for 5 days of treatment, they could go round the corner to this incredible service. There was psychology, there was physiotherapy. If you only wanted to read a book, have a glass of wine, meet for a chat, speak to professionals. And I got speaking to some of the fellow directors, and I thought, we need a centre like that in Donegal. Those people, and that day there were about 35 people, they were coming back to Donegal and there was nothing. So that's the significance. People can drop in for support, for help, for physio. It's just, and I extend a real invitation to anybody who's listening who would like to see what's done at the centre. Feel free to call. We would love you to come in, look around, see what we do. And as I say, this Camino has now become pretty much the main fundraiser for keeping that centre open.
And it's astonishing, and I think it's wonderful that Donegal County Council recognised it and stuck it on the calendar, because I want to talk to you. We might do it later, but every time you've mentioned Sunday, it's kind of been at the end of the interview, so I want to give a big push to our wonderful family all around the world to get involved in the Camino, wherever they are. I will do so. I will talk to you about that in a moment. But I want to also emphasise the importance of people who need the support to go into Letterkenny. I've spoken to people and heard testimonies from people who've got a cancer diagnosis, and they become the counsellor for everybody else. They've just been told this news that they have to go on this journey, and then they have to counsel everybody else. But they were able to bring their family into the facility and make sense of this news that's going to impact everyone. Like, it's so multifaceted, the support that's done.
Absolutely. And John and his team there, they don't just, as you say, deal with people who are on the journey. They involve family, they involve friends. There are gatherings for people who are the partners of people on that journey. And that's immensely helpful and so exciting, because sometimes, you know, when cancer visits a home, it affects everyone. So just to have a facility there where family, partners, children can become part of that wonderful, therapeutic and extraordinary place, it just makes it extra special. And it's a very valid point you made. make. It's not just about the person on the journey, it's the support group that they need outside of the centre, and they're very much involved.
And there's another cohort of people, and there's a million cohorts, but those that have successfully went through their treatment and everyone around them is, you've got the all clear, it's all over and fantastic, but there are a number of people then who worry about cancer coming back, bounce back cancer, or they don't really necessarily feel the positivity that's around them, and it's after their treatment that they can go back in and talk that through and make sense of it, make sense of the impossible almost for certain people.
Well, that is a very valid point. It's just that, you know, when cancer enters our lives, ourselves or family, it's very scary, and it's ever present, and those fears are ever present. And that's, you know, on kind of a slightly different note, there's a family walking with us today, the Friel family, and they had somebody very special who availed of our services, and Breda sadly is no longer with us, but what she did by just being sort of loud and speaking and doing all the things on that journey that helped others. Now her family are carrying on that tradition, and that makes the Camino as well that little bit extra special.
And it also means that while she may not be physically with us, she's still here.
There is no doubt. We arrived in Burtonport, the first thing we saw was a rainbow and a white butterfly. And Breda is most certainly walking with us. And we did a program, a show with you on Highland, and Breda and myself, I will never forget it. And it's very poignant. And I honestly sense her presence around us very much, as I do to other people here, the presence of many who have been touched by cancer. And maybe, just maybe, on this walk, it's the first time they've felt free and comfortable enough to even mention the C word and to talk about it as part of what I call a very therapeutic group walking.
Yeah, because there's a lot of people here for lots of different reasons, and some are very expressive about why they're here or why it's important to them. Others not so much. It doesn't matter because it's so subjective. We are actually doing all of this to raise awareness, I think, of the fantastic facilities that are in Letterkenny, Cancer Care West Donegal. It's thanks to this and these people here that those services exist and the staff are supported in what they do. It's a lovely space. It's not clinical. It's not like going into a doctor's waiting room, Noel. It's a home from home, and it's been designed in that way. You can go in and sit and have a cup of coffee. You don't necessarily have to say anything straight off, but that's why that facility is there. And these guys do this. We drop in and out, right? But these guys do this every single year, and they're raising funds for Cancer Care West Donegal to keep that office open, of course, and support the great staff there. If you can donate, you can donate through our own page here, idonate.ie/fundraiser/GregHughes1. We've got the links on my social media and Highland social media. But it doesn't matter how your money finds its way to the Donegal Camino, because every shilling that they raise, every pound, euro, cent, whatever it might be, goes straight to support Cancer Care West Donegal. And I just want to focus on that for a little bit, because, Noel, the amount of money that has been raised through your efforts, but actually, you know, fundamentally what it comes down is to, it comes down to the generosity of the public. It's huge, the amount of money that this event raises. I sometimes struggle to get my head around the figures.
Irish people are so kind, so generous. Donegal people, people up here in the northwest, I say people here have that extra little bit of generosity about them. Without the people, without the walkers, without their friends, without their family, we would be in no position to keep that centre going and raising the amount of money that we do. And I will use this opportunity, since you highlighted it, to publicly say to those walkers and those support people who are with those walkers, a huge thank you. And thank you for sort of coughing up when they've asked for sponsorship. Thank you for joining Greg on this journey as well by donating. And there are no words. It's impossible to say how important those donations are. And we are so, so grateful.
And I'm going to talk a little bit later on, because I think it's important to do so, about the invisibles, those that stump up the cash. And we've got some amazing people that do that. You know, often they're wealthy, often they're not necessarily from here, but they stump up cash for different events and different fundraisers and what have you. And they don't look for any credit for it at all. It's just to give something back.
Yeah, and we are, you know, obliged to mention them because, I mean, I pitched up at a well-known company because I happened to be in Donegal on Tuesday or Monday, and they gave me a cheque for €500. You know, and those kind of people are invaluable. And that was me just strolling in, you know, to a garage on the outskirts of Donegal town.
Oh, well, you might as well
yeah, to Brown's Cars and say, this is what we're doing. That's why I'm wearing this T-shirt. Any chance of some help? So that help that we get from major sponsors. And remember, those same people are being contacted on a daily basis, not just by the Cancer Centre in Letterkenny or the Donegal Camino, but by every other charity as well, because they have the wherewithal and people have no qualms about going to them and saying, I need sponsorship. So credit, thanks and fair dues to them.
Thank you, Noel. I'm going to speak to you before the end of the day. That is Noel Cunningham. He's the patron of Cancer Care West Donegal. He and everyone involved in this event has have raised so much awareness and so much money. There's lots of people here. Come with me, Shannon. Deputy Charles Ward. I'm still struggling to get my head around calling you Deputy Charles Ward. I don't know what the hell's going on.
It's hard to take in sometimes, but yeah, that's it. That's the title.
I was listening back to a little package about the election, and it was such a journey, even on that one day. But anyway, we'll not go through all that again. Right, we're in your hometown now.
Yeah, we are, Armour Island. This is Lubgara. This is where my wife is from. I'm from Affert, which is the scenic end of it. And so this is my hometown. This is where I went to school here. I lived here for 9 years, first 9 years of my life, and then went to Scotland for 10 years and developed a Scottish accent. So that's where we're at.
I did 3 years in London, and I'll be forever English. That's it.
When you're in Ireland, you're Scottish. When you're in Scotland, you're Irish. So that's the way it is.
But even in Dublin, when you're in Dublin, you're Donegal. They know you're from Donegal. But when you're up here, they think, well, where the hell are you from? Is it a tough place to leave an island life?
It's in your heart, so it never leaves you. So no matter where you are, you hear Armour, you're always there. So, as for example, my son was meant to come with me today because he's going to college. I thought this is a good thing for the two of us to do together. But typical teenager, couldn't get out of his bed. There's nothing better than island life. If you come here and you spend a year here, it'll change the way you look at your life forever. It's a simple life. It's a good life, and everybody pulls together, and everybody helps each other, and that's the way it's always been. The population is down on what it was, but it's still there. When I went to school over in Affert, we had 84 children. There was 113 in the school over here. Now that's a lot lower than it is, but people are coming back all the time.
Because I was going to say, why do you think there would be a depopulation here? Because it's incredibly accessible. I mean, you have the best of both worlds, right? You have, you know, you're living on an island, but you have everything that you have on the mainland, in inverted commas. And, I mean, obviously it's weather dependent, and we came over in beautiful seas last night, right? But you also have, for the most part, you know, good access to the mainland. I would have no problem living here.
Yeah, well, you see, the thing is, Greg, it's real simple. We were brought up to know that sometimes you can't get out, and sometimes the weather will turn, and it's not that you're stuck, but you make provisions and you plan. But anybody that's come here with their families and relocated into Armour, they've integrated in fantastically well. But it's just that what we have is here, where we would like to have more people come into the island. We don't have the housing on the island to facilitate them. So it's a fantastic place. Everybody that always talks about Armour, a stranger has a smile on their face. And that's fact. You know what I mean? So when I'm up in Dalairn, the amount of TDs I've met who have come through their journey in life to going into politics, they've come into this island. Yeah. You know what I mean? And like, we've had some famous people too. I remember I met Fergal Sharkey of the Undertones. He was a student in here, and he told me before, and I was like, that's amazing.
Yeah. And you're here supporting the Donegal Camino as well, and supporting Cancer Care West, Letterkenny. It's an easy ask, isn't it, to get behind this amazing event and that amazing charity, given the work that it's doing. And I'm not just saying that. That's not just hyperbole or throwing words out there. I've got to sort of know the people. I've spoken to Noel extensively. I know how important it is. I know the difference it makes to people off the record on the QT. And this event, a massive fundraiser for it. And it's great to be a part of it, isn't it?
It is. It's like this. Cancer affects everybody. There's no family that cancer hasn't affected. And the fact is that we're up here today, and a fantastic turnout, and the sun is shining. I've looked, we're going to have a fantastic walk today. You're going to see some of the best scenery in the whole of Ireland, not just Donegal, the whole of Ireland. So I hope you enjoy it, and next year it will grow. It'll keep on growing. I just can't believe what a fantastic turnout today.
All right then, so seeing as you're so confident, I have a wet jacket, thanks to Watson's. Do I leave it in the car or take it with me?
Greg, if you put that wet jacket on, it's going to become a sauna suit.
That's on the record.
That's on the record. See this here? Don't follow this. Follow the blue skies above us.
Right,
that's
okay. Well, all right. Well, listen, we won't hold it against you.
Okay.
All right. Listen, Don, we're going to hand it back to you. We've got so many different people to talk to over the course of... Mr. Daniel O'Donnell is here, by the way. One second. I'm going to have to... Daniel, excuse me, please. He's meeting his people.
Hello.
Mr. Daniel O'Donnell has turned up here.
Are you on the video too?
We do everything here. We're multimedia.
No expense spared.
No expense spent. Come here, Daniel. Lovely to see you. Why have you decided to get involved in this event?
Well, I mean, I suppose it goes without saying, you know, anything to do with raising awareness and money for cancer is very, very much needed. Unfortunately, there's very few families or houses that hasn't been affected by it, so it's a great gathering of people, and, you know, just to be able to be a part of it is a pleasure and an honour.
And it's this kind of juxtaposition in that, you know, there's a sense of camaraderie and happiness and everything, but it's about... I just like when we talk about really serious stuff, but maybe try and do it with a smile on our faces.
Well, I think that's what it's about. I mean, even going back to Relay for Life, I mean, Relay for Life is a real happy day. Even though there's lots of people there on that day, this is a different thing. I suppose people would need to be at the full of their health to be here. But Relay for Life, you can be there even going through treatment. And, you know, even though people are on the cancer journey that are standing there in front of you, there's still an air of positivity and hope. And I think that's what you need to realise, that in all these things, the reason we're here, there will be people that will benefit and people that will survive. You know, I know there's many people, sadly, that their journey ends not the way that we want it to end. But there's a lot of people, because of things like this, that, you know, they recover and live very full lives. And that's why this is so important. And days like this are so important.
16 kilometres, the Arranmore Loop. We're in for a beautiful walk. Is this well within your capability? I'm worried. I'm worried for myself.
I'm just glad you're not here to talk at the end of it.
Daniel, thank you so very
thanks
much.
Thanks very much. It's a pleasure, and thanks for being here.
And that is the kind of support this event is getting, of course. And there's people who you might know, and then there's others that you might not know, but they're all here for the same reason, the great leveller, which is cancer. One in two of us will be affected by it. I think there's one degree of separation, really, if the truth be told. But you can support the work of Cancer Care West Donegal by donating, if you can, please, like so many people here are doing. You can go to idonate.ie/fundraiser/Greg Hughes 1. Give us a call at the radio station 07491 25000, and we can process your donation over the telephone, thanks to our wonderful colleagues at Highland. Or if you're a cash person, don't forget you can call into the Mountaintop Letterkenny, and we'll give you a receipt for your cash, and we'll lodge it straight away into the online donation system. Every single penny goes to support this fantastic facility that either we know about and we've used, or possibly might have to use into the future. And I just want to reiterate what Noel Cunningham said there as well. no one needs to be a hero and be the brave face or whatever it might be. If you need some help, some counselling, some support, just a cup of tea with someone that's outside your family circle or your friend's circle, where you don't constantly have to be brave and to be the hero, call in. They're on the Pierce Road. It's just to the left of Sister Sarah's as you face on. It's upstairs, but there's a wonderful lift up to it. And go along and get the support that you may well need. But one way or other, please, if you can, donate idonate.ie/fundraiser/Greg Hughes 1 and give us a call on 07491 25000 if you have a few bob to spare. And don't feel bad if you don't, it's okay too. But for those of that you have, we'd really, really appreciate it. So we've got loads more guests. We haven't exhausted the pool yet. We're going to be heading off walking now in the next 20-25 minutes. And we'll hook in, Donal, if it's okay with you, into the second hour.
Of course.
And we'll chat to more people and get a sense of the atmosphere. I think you can hear the buzz, can you, Donal?
It's quite obvious, Greg. I mean, you can hear certainly the buzz there seems to be great, and it's wonderful to see so many people there. And fair play to the weather and fair play to Charles. His conversations with the weather gods obviously helped.
Well, I'm not sure if I have a natural built-in cynicism when a commitment is given by a politician, Donal,
yeah.
But I'm still taking my wet jacket.
I was going to say, Greg, if I were you, I would still have the bag on the shoulder, but keep it on the shoulder, hopefully it'll stay there.
All right, well, do you know the funny thing is and the reason why I'm not trying to play up the 16 kilometres, right, because it's nothing, right? What do you do pretty much most mornings? How many kilometres would you bang out?
I've actually scaled back a bit. I do about five or six.
Five. But you were doing more than that.
I would have been doing closer to 10, but I've scaled back a bit because I'm getting a bit older and the joints are getting a bit creakier.
Isn't it terrible how our knees and hips go? I don't know what the hell is going on.
Well, I have 10 years on you, don't forget now, Greg. So.
Well, true. But I think I can bang out 16 kilometres today.
Of course you can. No problem.
All right. Donal, listen, thank you so much for bringing us in. And we look forward to chatting to you in the next hour. We'll have loads more guests and try and give you a sense of this wonderful atmosphere surrounding such a serious subject. But listen, that's the way we have to live our life, isn't it? Okay, thanks, Donal.
Okay, Greg, you take care. And that's Greg on Aranmore Island there. Greg will be rejoining us again as the morning goes on. Now, school absenteeism is a major issue, and there are a number of reasons put forward for it. Now, TUSLA has put forward figures which show worrying elements and levels of school absenteeism, particularly since the COVID pandemic. And a lot of attention is now focusing on clean air in schools and if the air quality in our schools is actually having an impact on absenteeism through illness. Now, to tease us through that particular issue, we're joined on Zoom by Dr. Ciara Steele, who's a GP and a member of Clean Air Advocacy Ireland. Ciara, very good morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning, Donal. How are you?
Very well indeed, thank you. Ciara, this is an interesting one because school absenteeism, yeah, there are a number of reasons for it, but your concern and the concern of those involved in Clear Air Advocacy Ireland is that since COVID, we haven't yet really got to grips with proper ventilation and proper air quality within our school buildings.
Yeah, look, I think everybody is trying their best and there's a lot of directives from the Department of Education, but I think there's an implementation gap there. There's a lot of, at the start, there's a lot of CO2 monitors in the classrooms. But teachers are challenged in a classroom situation and it's very difficult for them to manage everything all together in one go. Like smarter air controlled ventilation systems would probably be the ideal. But the CO2 monitors are cheap and they're easy to use. And they're a really good reflection of the air quality in classrooms and should be utilised in a traffic light system where the CO2 levels should be below 800. And we do have guidance in Ireland on that from the Health and Safety Authority. So we have a lot of guidance, we have a lot of recommendations. But I think where we're falling short is the funding to sustain implementations of these guidance in order to have sustained improved air quality within schools. So there's a lot of factors for it. We know that TUSLA's own research has shown that 60% of school absences is due to illness, nothing else. So, you know, we know that illness is a massive factor in school absences. So correcting the source of school absences due to illness by cleaning the air only makes sense.
There was a lot of talk about this over the course of COVID. It certainly seems now that COVID is some sort of distant memory that was in the past. It's something that happened. During the course of the pandemic, there was times you thought we'll never get back to what we used to call normal. Now it's almost at times we'll go days and weeks without even thinking about the fact that COVID ever happened. Have we lost an opportunity here to look at issues like clean air, look at issues like what causes respiratory illnesses, what contributes to the movement of infections and so on, and really failed to tackle them when we had the focus?
Yeah, well, I think probably COVID is an unusual beast. It's not gone away. You know, I think probably people at the moment are noticing that there is an increase at the moment again. So it's not seasonal. It comes in summer, you know, so that the opportunity to clean air all year round is a learning point that maybe we are only picking up on lately, but could have, you know, avoided a lot of hurt and harm maybe earlier on in the pandemic as well. We know early on in the pandemic that a lot of viral illness, respiratory illness, is airborne. Scientists are learning that other, bioaerosols can contribute to infection as well, like fungi, mold, bacteria. And so we're learning more about aerosol dynamics. Like I myself didn't really know what an aerosol was before 2020, but my interest is sparked from, you know, the fact that I have children who have asthma who are more vulnerable. You know, my own mother has a rare respiratory condition that she's more vulnerable. So, you know, I know that it has a health impact, on a personal level as well as a general level as well. So the learnings, you know, really would be to clean the air with mechanical ventilation, natural ventilation, which is just opening windows, maybe even on a scheduled basis, and providing filtration with portable air filters or mechanical ventilation as well. But what our advocacy in our group is really to say, look, we don't want this to be something that you don't think you can manage yourself. There are things that you can do to assess the air quality in your school. You can ask your school board, you can ask your teachers, you know, what is the air quality in your school? I think there's a problem with transparency. I know in Latvia, there's live streamed CO2 monitors in all the classrooms so that everybody is aware of the air quality in those schools. And that's something that we've petitioned the Minister to introduce. But, you know, so, but there are things that you can do. You can ask your school what the air quality schedule is like. And I know teachers are under pressure with the strike at the moment. You know, there's a lot going on. On the news last night, the bins were collecting and, you know, that's a health hazard. But clean air is a health hazard, you know, that is persistent. And we have learnt a lot, but it's implementing what we've learned that can help protect us now and in the future.
We're also joined on Zoom by Sarah Wetherill, who is a parent member of the Clean Air Advocacy Group. Sarah, good morning to you.
Morning, Donald. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure. You're looking at this from the point of view of a parent. You have children in school. You have skin in the game, literally. From that point of view, you want to see action taken on this to ensure your children's health and the health of their peers and their friends.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's taking action for children in school today, but children going into school in the future. And I think, look, we've known for a long, long time that poor air quality in schools has a serious detriment on children's health. I mean, as back as far as the 1800s, Florence Nightingale was talking about the state of air in children's schools, and they were the source of epidemics. And so it's something we've known for a long time, but I think it's been on the back burner and COVID really brought it to the forefront. The benefits are unquestionable. Higher test scores, fewer sick days, fewer respiratory issues, safer learning environment, better concentration. You know, we've all gone through that 3 p.m. slump in an office, that headache that won't go away, that lack of concentration. And it's no different for kids in school. So cleaning the air is one way to create a healthier learning environment for all kids. And I personally don't think that there should be a trade-off between education and health, and why can't we have both?
The issue that Kira raised there, an interesting one, that in Latvia, for instance, CO2 measurements are actually live-streamed from schools. Would you like to see audited regular measurement of air quality in our schools and a regulation put in place that says they have to monitor the air and they have to inform parents of what the readings are?
Absolutely, and to go even further, to have a plan in place as to how schools respond when those air quality levels do get dangerous. Kira's mentioned a few of the really simple things that can be done, and you know, opening the windows and making sure the kids get outside so that the rooms can be aired out, and having that clear CO2 plan as to what does happen within a school when levels go high, the HEPA filters, other things such as monitoring outdoor pollution. And there's a real crossover here with work that schools are already doing around the Green Schools campuses, you know, tackling things like idling outside, you know, ensuring green space around school buildings. So there's a whole load of stuff that can be done, and the work really has been done for schools. For example, just next week, there's a Safe Air webinar, and it's specifically aimed at schools, giving really simple tips and tricks as to how they can, you know, ensure this cleanness. So really the work is there. And it's like Kira said, it's how do we ensure it's implemented, and how do we have an oversight over what schools are doing? And we do know teachers are stressed. We know that their workload is huge, but I think what we want to spell out, this isn't just for students either. It's also for teachers, because they're outside of health care providers. Their disability and absentee rates for sickness are one of the highest. So it's a benefit to all staff within a school.
And I'd just like to say as well that the Department of Health, you know, do understand the power of clean air in schools. Like, all new buildings will have mechanical heat recovery ventilation. You know, there's a pilot study, you know, in the Kildare catchment area of 12 schools that are going to be retrofitted. But what we're saying is that we would like that to be expanded. Why wait for all the other schools in the country? You know, why not just roll that out now to retrofit the other schools as well? There's also, you know, globally, there's sort of like a higher appreciation of healthy indoor air. We're involved in a Healthy Indoor Air Global Call to Action that's taking place beside the UN. We're actually invited to that in New York coming up towards the end of September. And also we're involved in the Peace Air Peace Plus project, which is funded project by the SEUPB, which is a funded project which would also be looking at school quality outside school environments, as well as introducing sensors into residential areas as well. So we're really in an expanding and developing area that is really catching the attention of the political world, as it impacts health. And as it impacts health, it obviously impacts our quality of life, and it also has economic impacts as well. And what I would say is, like, that the financial burden of introducing retrofit ventilation or HEPA filters, you know, really has an economic gain by increasing cognitive function in the school setting. You know, their studies show that learning is enhanced, test scores are enhanced in maths and English. You know, one school that had HEPA filters introduced because there was a gas leak nearby noticed that all of their students tested better on their scores and for that month. You know, so there's plenty of scientific research and evidence, and the Peace Air project is a scientific research project developing clean air both outside and indoor air as well. So it's very exciting to have all of that work recognised.
Important then that both Ministers Jennifer Carl McNeill and Helen McEntee get together, health and education, cooperate and get something going here to try and ensure that we do get these measurements into the schools, and more importantly, that we do get the clean air and the filtration in there as well. Sarah Weatherald from the Cleaner Air Advocacy Group, and Dr. Kira Steele, GP and also a member of Clean Air Advocacy Ireland. Thank you very much indeed, both of you, for joining us on the show this morning.